Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show, and thank you for joining us. We just ask you to visit our sponsors and supporters again. My name is Bob Griswold, and we're going to go in the reverse order.
Glenn Fink.
Kim Fink.
Sharon Bahakis.
Donna Stebbins.
Diane Bauer.
Mary Griswold.
Very good. Now, where are we going?
We are coming up on Constitution Week, and we have two guests here that do a presentation in relation to Constitution Week, and we would like them to talk about what they do, where they do it, and how they do it, and what the presentation involves. So, ladies?
Well, my name is Donna Stebbins, and next to me is Sharon Bahakis. We're both from the Richard Dobbs Bate chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution here in New Bern, North Carolina, and every year we celebrate Constitution Week, September 17th through the 23rd, and we have been afforded that remembrance of one of the most important documents because of two important people that were from this town. And those two important people were obviously Richard Dobbs Bate, which is our namesake, who we're named after. Richard Dobbs Bate was a native of New Bern, and he was an orphan, and he went back to Ireland. Then he went to school in Scotland and came back and was a very knowledgeable person. And he held office in many, many ways, but he was a signer of the Constitution from New Bern. And then we have our very famous mover and shaker, none other than Miss Gertrude Sprague Carraway, who was a resident here of New Bern. She was native, and she was the only North Carolina president general of the DAR. So she worked with a senator from California in the 50s. She petitioned Congress, and she worked with this Senator Noland, and then they cozied up to Mamie and Dwight Eisenhower, and they got this nationally recognized on August 2nd, 1956. It's now every year we celebrate it. And the Constitution is not just a historical footnote, it is the most revered and extraordinary document all over the world. And here we are, the three most famous words, we the people. And I have a poster here that I'm going to give Mary. And I also have a goodie bag that Sharon and I and a group of our ladies every year we get together and we assemble these goodie bags that basically have a lot of resources or supplements. And we're going to be able to give one to each child, I believe, this year, hopefully, which contains an American flag, the Pledge of Allegiance, the American Creed, which a lot of Americans don't even know about, the American Creed, the preamble, and a pocket Constitution book. So I'm giving this to you and Bob.
Oh, thank you.
As a treat. And, it's we the people affirm that the government of the United States exists to serve its citizens. The supremacy of the people through their elected representatives is recognized in Article 1, which creates a Congress consisting of a Senate and a House of Representatives. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sharon and see if she can talk about. We have a three major events. We've got the Farmers Market September 13th from 8 until 2. It'll be an informational booth. And our ladies are out there, and if anybody's interested in joining the DAR, there's some information regarding that. And there's a storyboard about the Constitution. And then across the street at 11, from 11 to 2, we're going to have an informational booth, like an educational booth for children and adults and stuff, and we'll have it'll be pictorial, and there'll be some things on Richard Dobbs Bate and Miss Gertrude. And then on the 17th, the last big event, is at in front of the gates of Tryon Palace. It was fantastic last year. We got a lot of compliments. We have several speakers. State Senator Bob Brinson will be there talking about the Constitution. Our own from the CCTA, from the Frederick Douglass Society, is Damon King. He'll be there representing Frederick Frederick Douglass Foundation and be talking about the Constitution. Dr. Bob Ainslie will be talking about Richard Dobbs Bate, and who knows, I think Gertrude's going to show up, or her her persona will show up. So, and at the end of that, towards the culmination of that event, we ring bells, and we tell people, bring bells. Also this year, bring a chair, because you might not want to stand for 45 minutes, but bring a bell if you can. And we have a town crier, so it's going to be really, and we'll be in, there'll be pomp and circumstance, we'll be in our, it's at 3:15, and you'll see posters throughout the city, and they'll be at some of the schools and other places, and at around 4 o'clock, which is symbolic of the last person who signed the Constitution. And I think he was a 26-year-old guy named Jay. But I've looked him up a couple times, and I get different answers. So it symbolizes the last person on that day.
And that the date of this event?
September 17th.
September 17th.
And the that's the kickoff, really, September 17th through the 23rd. And we'll be doing various other things. We'll be doing presentations at Epiphany, at Kingdom Way Homeschool, also... out in Jones County, we'll be, and we'll also be doing events with the Scouts. Last year, I was with the military, but she's working on American 250, so it's been really a challenge to get a hold of her to get things going with them. But next year will be different. But I'll talk about this, and then I'm going to give it to Sharon because she knows a lot of the history behind it. But we've been very unfortunate in the fact that we may be the only chapter or the only city or whatever where the school board policies have changed in 2023, and that being that there are no groups that can really go in there.
Into public schools.
Into the public schools, and they explained it to me. I am working with some of the board members, and they haven't forgotten me, and they have a relatively conservative group of people, supposedly, that are over there. But it's just that they started to have, like, the woke groups and the Satan Club. They explained that was one example. They didn't want them coming in there. So, but I said, but there's nothing controversial. This is their history. We are just supplementing what the teachers are presenting in their classrooms. So, and we come there, and it's light, and it's, you know, depending on the age level, we come in historical costume. We talk, you know, we don't get deep into the weeds about the Constitution. We share some information. And we also have another group that's different, but throughout the year, it's called the Patriot Chest. They go in and provide education in the schools, and they are actually, I think they're getting into the Brinson School, but they are just another group that talks about more stuff about how the way of life was back then in the 18th century.
Just a quick question to not interrupt where you want to go with right. The rest of this, but is it Craven County only, are you broader than Craven County? Do you know if
I think it's
Carteret and the.
I'm not really sure about Carteret.
Okay, so it's Craven County is all
chapter,
you know of.
DR chapter, we can't, you know.
Okay.
It's what I understand is Craven County. Okay. But we have gotten into the private schools, so we're doing St. Paul's, Epiphany, the homeschoolers.
New Life. New Life Church.
Calvary on the list this year.
I have tried to get a hold of her a million times.
New Life Church School. I forget what the name of that school is. On Old Cherry Point Road, maybe somebody.
Newberta Christian Academy.
Yes, that is.
2 years in a row.
Perfect.
This year, her answer
okay. To
me was.
Excellent.
We want our teachers to be in the classroom. So they kind of.
Yeah. You know.
Well, I have a question. If it's about having groups come in, does the school still embrace like the DARE programs and the MAD programs that the
police
do? That
I'm not sure about.
Because
I don't know.
Because it would be similar to me.
Exactly.
It's you know, a non-political information, good for everybody kind of thing.
If it comes hell or high water next year, if it within my power, I'm going to make it happen because it's America 250 next year. And I'm sorry, but this isn't anything that is controversial.
And
we should be able to get in there.
And I believe wholeheartedly that a policy can be amended to allow things like this in and not act like you got to let everything in because of that. I got to believe that we can be successful at this.
And this is information. This is information that the students get that enhances their knowledge of the Constitution.
Which is actually a requirement. The founding principles is actually a requirement of education.
I've delved into this. In the North Carolina Constitution, you know, or in the state with education and stuff. First of all, if you're getting federal dollars, you're supposed to be teaching this, okay? So somewhere in there should be a way that we could finagle our way, I would imagine, because they have to take certain things. And myself, coming from Illinois, and we know where Illinois stands on a lot of issues, I had to take the U.S. Constitution test in order to be a teacher in the schools. So that's all. But I want to turn it over to Sharon, so give her a minute to talk, because I've taken too much of the
time. Oh, thank you, Donna. I want to mention a few things that some people might not be aware of, and that is the Bill of Rights that was added into the Constitution. The only reason we have that is because the three representatives in North Carolina refused to sign the Constitution unless there was a Bill of Rights. Now, it's a beautiful painting where everybody's in a room together signing it over a table. That isn't how it happened. That Constitution had to travel to state to state to state. And when they ended up in North Carolina, with this demand, they had to go and they had to rewrite and add it. So that being said, three men from North Carolina fought for this and they got that and it was signed. And so if you go past the Riverside Old Methodist Church established 1910, you know, you'll see three signs in the yard, and all it is white print on a black background that says, "Freedom of religion." Now, unfortunately, I think that made some people uncomfortable, and after pulling up the sign and making it disappear once and then bringing it back, they've kind of decided that this is a war they're not going to win. But people should understand that we have the Bill of Rights because of three men in North Carolina. And they should read not only the Constitution, but those Bill of Rights. Those rights are not given to you by the government. They are given to you by God and protected under the Constitution. So that's something that everyone should be reading.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If bailing wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Let's head back into the discussion.
Well, there have been, over the course of the last 10, 12 years, a lot of riders that have seen the America 250 coming up. And they wanted to make sure that they delved into the original papers that are in the archives in Washington, D.C., and libraries and colleges and state libraries all over. And they have written some very good books. One that I found really quite interesting was a book named Prelude to Revolution, The Salem Gunpowder Raid of 1775. It is written by Peter Charles Hoffer. And you realize that back then, gunpowder was very explosive, so that in order to keep it safe, everybody kept their gunpowder in a communal building where the temperature and the humidity could be and kept at a constant. And when the British soldiers came over, they just, when they arrived at town, they'd keep their gunpowder in there too. And when the rabble-rousers, you know, started speaking out against the king and protesting against the king, and Boston got the worst of it, they were afraid that England would come in and confiscate their gunpowder. Now, what did we just see within the last week? Someone that had a mental illness shot up a school from the outside because they couldn't get in, and now we have politicians in the state of Minnesota who are back on the bandwagon of take everybody's guns away. Well, I can assure you, go back, read Prelude to Revolution, The Salem Gunpowder Raid of 1775 by Peter Charles Hoffer, and you'll realize that that is never going to happen here. Another good one is, and this is a thick one. You got to take your time reading it because you're going to stop and think about some of this. It's called 1774, The Long Year of Revolution by Mary Beth Norton. War didn't just break out. There was issues with trade. There was issues with taxation. There were issues of people wanting to trade with other countries freely and couldn't. And when it got to the place where they were going to start putting taxes on the imports, then people revolted, said, listen, unless we get a seat in the Congress that you have there, we're not going to do it. We're not going to pay. Now, women were the driving force of this. So we're not going to drink any tea. Mm. We're not going to drink any tea. And you know what? We're not going to buy their cloth. So they had gone up into their attics and pulled out the old spinning wheels and looms that grandma and great-grandma used and started teaching the young teenage girls how to spin and how to weave and how to make their own cloth. And they also started boycotting a lot of other imports and said, you know, we can live without it in order to be free from a government that we see as corrupt and overpowering. So it really was the women who were the driving force of the revolution happening.
Some things never change.
Some things never change. Now, you got to understand, you know, Be Kind to the Ladies was in a letter to one of the congressional representatives that met, you know, to try to come up with rules and laws and how are we going to do this. And when she writes the line, Be Kind, Remember the Ladies. Now, women couldn't vote. You had to be a male landowner to vote. You could be a female landowner, but you still couldn't vote. But these women, they had a vision of what was coming in the future. And they could see what was going to happen, just not to their children, but grandchildren and great-grandchildren, 5-6 generations down the line. They could see what was coming down the line, and they said, no, we're going to stop it right here. I think the men would have been happy to go ahead and get the boots from England and the pants from England and the books from England, and the ladies said, not in this house. So they really stood up. So Prelude, 1774, The Long Year of Revolution by Mary Beth Norton. It's a long read, but it's chocked full of wonderful information.
What age group would that be appropriate for?
Junior high through adult. Junior high through adult. Now, there's one called The People's War by Noel Ray, N-O-E-L-R-A-E. It's the one I'm reading now. And it has an enormous amount of first-hand information, just not from Americans and English soldiers, but also the Scottish soldiers and the German soldiers, and not all Germans that ended up here in the war. They did not want to be here. They kind of got, they were arrested and roped into it. Yeah, the Hessians. Not all Hessians were happy about being shipped here. But it's first-hand stories that has been brought out of many, many archives, which explains how people really felt about world events and political events and the fact that they could see that if this continued, you know, our religious rights may be taken away from us too. So it's a long read.
What's the name of the book again?
The People's War.
Okay.
By Noel Ray.
It amazes me that long ago people were that aware of what was going on worldwide, because the communication wasn't instant like it is now.
Right.
So the time that would lapse between an event occurring, say in England, and or vice versa here, and get the news getting back to there, because you know we've all played the telephone game just around the table. So the fact that a story would get...
Some of the reports were a little bit askew. Some of the reports were a lot askew, which put a lot of people in alarm. But when you saw the ships coming in, there were people there at the dock ready to intercept and says, what's going on? And all they carried all kinds of papers. So those papers became common knowledge. And newspapers back then, well, that was the thing.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Well, we're in the opposite situation right now, where we have information overload, that we have so much information, we cannot figure out what actually is important.
Or true.
Or true.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were reports this weekend that Donald Trump was dead.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing that.
And he showed up and after the weekend said, I don't think so.
There's another book that I just to add to what the books that you're talking about, that I just picked up two of these books. They're called the Forgotten Founders, I believe it is. And it's the Black Patriots. It's the Women Patriots. It's a marvelous book. And we have, in our chapter, we have a group of people, a few ladies that are DAR members, and they are descendants of the Harlow Patriots. So those were the Black Revolutionary that they vetted, that they actually did all the genealogy and whatever. So we have two members. So they're going to get more involved with me because I want to get into some of the other schools, because I don't think those children realize that, how important these people were. Actually, there's one mention in the book, and I can't... His name was something Salem, I think. But... I just kind of glimpsed through it because I just wanted to see what was in there, because I knew it was. They gave it a great review. And I don't know if his name was Peter Salem or something, but he was like instrumental in the Battle of Bunker Hill. Mm-hmm. This is a Black Patriot, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, so, I was going to say, it's interesting that you talk about the books, because I read a statistic, and I'm trying to bring it back from the back of my mind and forgetful mind or whatever else. But apparently not too long ago, I'm talking back in maybe in the 90s, kids read books, about 70% of the kids read books every week. Now it's 13% read books. So folks, get out there, get a book.
Well, and very interesting about how commerce and stopping commerce still occurs, and on the forefront are a lot of women who stop, you know, at like a Target. We didn't like this coming into our Target. We're not going to shop at Target. Hence, Target loses all that money. Disney, same kind of things. And women are the key driving forces to this economy of, you know, buying power and all that. So you have to really watch where the women are turning to and where they're going, because they still hold a lot. I mean, the majority of the power, they're buying everything for the households.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, so back then they were doing it. And now here today, we're still.
Well, I just wanted to build on what was said about the involvement of the black population in the success of our country and wall builders, the Barton Group. I can't remember the names exactly, but there was a presentation done down in Moorhead City 2, 3, 4 years ago, time goes quick, that focused on that. And we need to highlight that more because, and I think some people don't want that to be highlighted so that they can be, you know, and I believe it's the folks that want to be able to say we're still victimized instead of saying, hey, look at the role we played.
Wow.
And so anyway,
and
I didn't mean to sidetrack this conversation.
And be proud of those achievements.
Yes.
I mean,
you know, it's amazing.
I went into, I delivered some posters, like I gave her one, and I went into the Chamber of Commerce, Visit New Bern, and I get, there's a young black gal at the desk. I said, you know what? I just came across this book. I've ordered a couple of them, and I was telling her about it. She goes, oh, my gosh. And she goes, I go, did you see our Patriot Path? This is our second year we did it. It's America 250. It's one of our events. All it is we have the DAR members can get their Patriot on a, like, white, you know, like for sale sign, and you get a black silhouette, and it'll have their number, if they're a private or whatever their history is. And then there's the Harlow Patriots. There were 14 that we recognized in this one section, so they were emphasized. And it's amazing how they contributed so much.
We need to remember that people from all groups contributed to the success of the revolution. We're going through a period of anti-Semitism right now,
right.
But there was a Jewish man in Newport, Rhode Island, who financed the American Revolution.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for listening to CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Hi, my name's Elena Huber, and I'm running for your New Bern Ward 1 Alderman. As a retired military officer, I offer extensive experience to civic leadership. Years of managing complex operations under pressure make me adept at long-term planning and crisis response. I have led diverse teams through deployments, combat casualties, natural disasters, and the COVID-19 pandemic. My experience with large bureaucracies will help me navigate government systems and promote action from within. Whether it's a hurricane or budget shortfall, I have been trained to be calm in the storm, bringing order and clarity. With 22 years spent developing others and building teams, I am equipped to promote effective action, and I am ready to go to work. Please vote for me on Election Day, October 7th, and early voting begins on September 18th.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Now, Donna, you wanted to wrap up?
Well, and Sharon can add in to chime in on it. But the importance, the significance, I think we, and Glenn and all the historians also at the table chime in with me. I've heard it referenced as our Constitution, that document, from what I know, or the Declaration and everything, it's the longest living document that's held a country together. So we want 250 more years under the Bill of Rights and all the wonderful things that are contained in our Constitution, because we now see what's going on across the world with all these countries now, and they are protesting. And there's 8 of them right now. Australia, we see what's going on in the UK with their hate speech and literally arresting people for the most mundane things because of something they said. You know, you got France, Germany, all these people. Some people who don't want to go to war. Poland, the new leader of Poland, he is not sending his people to Ukraine. They want their culture back. They want their country back, and they don't want these this mass immigration from all these Islamic countries and other countries and people that just won't assimilate into their culture, like we have here.
Admittedly, we're not a democracy, we're a constitutional republic. But just as a point of reference, the longest lasting democracy in history was ancient Athens, which lasted about 180 years. So we have done very well because we are a representative republic and not a democracy. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the other things that we understand, we see, maybe a lot of people don't see it, but we as a country, with our constitution and everything, we were founded as a country with 13 independent states within it. Now it's grown to 50 states. Each of those states was originally a separate experiment. Some failed, some had to adjust to compete. They were all competing with one another. So we were a country of 50 competing organizations. Now we're in what's called a global economy where nobody is allowed to compete. Everybody has to be the same. Unfortunately, the sameness brings us to a lower level all the way around.
Competition drives
performance, and we're not allowed to do that now. And again, right now in our current economy and a current, we're not allowed to fail. You're just not allowed to fail. If you're going to fail, somebody's going to subsidize you.
That's my feeling and fear about New York with Mondami, because I think New York is too big to fail, and I don't think that they would be allowed to fail. And if Mondami gets in as this socialist communist, then other very progressive cities, say in Colorado or in Minnesota, will turn around and do the same thing. And then they will have a foothold into the cultural change.
New York City has already failed. It failed during the 70s or 80s, I don't remember exactly when. And the thing that prevented the city from going bankrupt is that the major real estate holders in the city paid their taxes in advance, and somehow it all worked out that they didn't go bankrupt. Unfortunately, you have a very different situation right now where many of the major real estate holders are leaving the city because they see what's coming. And many of the businesses left after Trump was attacked legally or illegally, depending on how you look at it, in lawfare, because they felt that if they can do that to Trump, they can do that to me. And many of them left.
To go back to the democratic, the word that democracy, and that we are a representative republic.
Yes.
Our politicians who refer to us as a democracy need to be corrected at every opportunity,
yes.
Number one. Number two, people need to realize that democracy in the true sense is mob rule.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
And it doesn't work because eventually the mob decides that they are in control, and since they're the majority, they can take things away from the minority. And that's what we have been trying to avoid.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we're at with the CDC. Our health care has been driven for the last 50 years by pharmaceutical companies.
Yes.
And now people are starting to hear the message, and I'm not the only one in the grocery store that reads the ingredients section on the labels anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So people are getting educated and realizing that, you know, if you don't feel well and the doctor gives you a pill and you get side effects from the pill, that's okay because the same pharmacy that invented that pill, they have another pill that will take care of that side effect. And if that pill gives you side effects, that's okay. We got another one we can give you too.
So, well, I think the one of the awakenings for me was looking at the ingredients label of a box of cereal in America versus the box of cereal in Britain. Mm-hmm. And the list of ingredients in America was like 10 lines long. The list of ingredients in Britain was like 2 lines long.
Wouldn't it make it more expensive to have more ingredients?
Well, it depends. In other words, high fructose corn syrup is cheaper than sugar, and it gives you a longer shelf life.
It's cheaper than sugar because the federal government subsidizes it, corn.
Okay.
Well, look at the other effect on corn is that the government subsidizes making the ethanol, the mm-hmm. alcohol additive to corn. I mean, I don't think the ethanol, the alcohol in ethanol is made at a profit. It's just continually subsidized.
And it's also not good for your car's engine.
And if for anybody with a lawnmower, if you go and use that ethanol fuel and you just let it sit for the wintertime, guess what? You're going to get rebuilt as your lawnmower.
So I'd like to just say with Constitution Week and the importance of the Constitution that we it's obvious we don't want to end up, we've been the most wonderful experiment for 250 years. We've got to go 250 years more. But we don't want to end up like any of the countries that right now are suffering because they have no identity anymore. And we have an identity. And we know we're a constitutional republic. And we know what our founding fathers did for us and made it so great. So we'd like to keep that, hopefully.
Hopefully people will become curious enough that they will actually read the Constitution for themselves. Don't let somebody else read it and then give you their opinion of what it says. You need to read it yourself, find out what's in it, and how it affects your daily life.
But yet, isn't that the current state of law in this country? Law schools do not read the Constitution. They read case law, mm-hmm. which is summary judgments supposedly based on the Constitution or based on some of these crazy judges that we're seeing pop up. This is a game of what's a whack-a-mole right now? Yeah. The game of whack-a-mole is how can we take that judge and push him back in the hole?
But we are at a point. We can assimilate a certain number of people legally coming into the country. But when you bring in hordes of people that have no interest in assimilation, you are creating a problem, not only immediate problem, but a problem down the road. And we have done that. It started, I go back to Ted Kennedy when he changed our immigration laws and we were bringing in people that were not necessarily culturally compatible with American culture.
I remembered what it was. I wanted to add on to Bob's talking about the Constitution. Everything he just said about how important it is a tribute to why an Article 5 would be a bad idea.
Yes.
And people don't even understand what they're talking about with an Article 5. how we got the Constitution that we have right now basically through that same kind of procedure. Because when they assemble, the first thing they do is the rules. Well, the rules can be to get rid of the rules. Right. I mean, we've seen that happen at North Carolina State conventions. So do you trust a man that much to put your life in his hands against what we already know and have? Number one. Number two, we don't follow the Constitution we have. What makes us think they're going to change it to be better?
Yeah. Do we have the quality of patriots now that they had in 1776?
I would say no.
Absolutely no. Not. And just some of the shenanigans that's going on in the NCGOB, GOP, not B, is a great example of that.
Yes.
One thing that worries me is the psychiatrists in the public schools. And there's a lot of them. Some terrible thing will happen, and the next thing you know, they're bussing in the psychiatrist. Well, why? Death is a horrible natural thing, and it's a tragic thing what happened. But that doesn't mean the children are insane. And if you can get a busload of psychiatrists in that school, and they can put a label on that child, that label follows that person for the rest of their life. They no longer are eligible to serve in the military. So we have to be very careful about the professional psychiatrists and psychologists that we drag into our schools by great numbers every time some catastrophe befalls us.
I'd like to add to that. I think very recently in the last couple of days, there was a movement, I want to say in Illinois, but it was to test all kids, third grade through 12th grade, for anxiety, for
yes,
mental
it was.
Stability.
My former state.
So that's, and the net of that is that is more destructive, and you get too many false positives,
right.
and it just is a total bad idea. But that's being pursued.
Well, I know that. That's from my former state. And I worked in government for 41 years. And I have personal experience with that because my background's in mental health.
Mm. But, you know, in today's day and age, there is no, other than the washer and the dryer, there is no normal setting within kids. Mm-mm. Kids don't have normal settings. I don't think psychologically they allow for a normal.
No, because boys, you know, I remember kids in school, they are fidgety, they're whatever, that's just part of who they are. They have all that expendable energy, you know what I mean? You don't label somebody with ADD or whatever, the things that they've done to these children. Just
well, you get more government money if you can stick a label on them.
And we know God made us as unique individuals.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to CCTA Wake Up Call. Mary, where did you want to take us?
Well, there have been some changes in the way we handle illegal immigrants under the Trump administration. And one of those changes is that illegal aliens will not be eligible for HUD funding housing, because we as Americans pay our taxes to support that. And we've got Americans living in their cars. And there is no reason to put people who were broke the law to get here ahead of the Americans. So I think that's a very welcome change.
We'll get some federal judge who will say it's unconstitutional, and they'll fight him on it just because it's Trump. And I still can't understand why anybody, regardless of party affiliation, how they can think it's okay to treat better a criminal than your own citizens. I hate it that we have veterans that are homeless. And we have organizations that are doing wonderful things like Tunnels for Towers, yes, that are trying to build places, take over, renovate old apartment complexes and put them into housing. We don't take as good a care of our own people as we take care of these illegals. And I can't help but feel it's for the agenda of trying to get a political base. So even if you're of that party, of that political base, that should piss you off.
Well, part of the problem with homeless veterans is PTSD and drug problems, particularly among the Vietnam vets. And those things need to be addressed by the VA. And there have been some changes in the VA recently that I believe will begin to address those things. So I agree with you totally.
Hyperbaric oxygen treatments for PTSD, oh my gosh, they have got great success with it. So why don't we have that in every VA facility? I don't understand that.
Well, now, that would make sense.
Now, HBOT for Heroes, I believe that's the group that's in Greenville several years ago, and it was all done with private money. Private money and donations.
But again, in that situation, you still have to have the veteran be willing to go to the facility. Well, and sometimes that's extremely hard to do. I mean, the best friend that introduced us to each other, and this is back many, many years ago. 150 years ago, yeah.
In the age of dinosaurs.
But he physically came back from Vietnam, but not mentally.
And no.
Just,
yeah.
And as far as we know, would reject all attempts at treatment.
Now, I understand a lot of veterans are getting on board with the hyperbaric oxygen treatment. Veterans have been complaining now for 15 years that the drug regimes, the drug cocktails, aren't working. And they're frustrated over the fact that you go to, and here again, we're back to, it has been the pharmaceutical companies that has been running our health care for decades. And now you have veterans telling you outright, the drug cocktails aren't working. They're not helping.
How about the C-39 patches? Bobby Kennedy, RFK Jr., is wearing a C-39 patch.
What's that?
I just went to I met with this girl, and she talked about this. I said, I have back issues. And she says, I want to talk to you. Would you want to go for coffee? And this woman came from my church, St. Paul. And there are these patches. And the guy who developed them, he's a scientist. He's going to be working with RFK. They can't claim any cures or anything, but she said it's about stem cells. So, you know, you're hearing about stem cells, yeah. Stem cell, whatever. This is a process that somehow it doesn't use stem cells. It's photolight therapy or something. And what it does is it activates your stem cells in your body.
What's it called?
C39. And it's
marketed as drug-free, non-stimulant solution.
Yeah.
And patches are claimed to activate the body's own stem cells and offer a holistic approach to improving health.
Yeah.
That's different than the one that we see on TV that was developed by a scientist. It's called Signal. This is different than that?
Yeah, it's different. Okay. But anyway.
Now, you know the pharmaceutical companies are going to fight against this.
I saw Bobby Kennedy with one eye, and she showed me this whole thing, and heart, sleep, you name it, all these things, anxiety, you know, they don't make claims. But some people, energy, some people noticed it like within a few days.
Where do you buy them?
There's
this is what I used to do, network marketing. So they were, I get what this is. You guys are trying to get, I have too much on my plate right now. I said, but I'll buy the product. So the girl that I'm working with, I might join her eventually, depending on how things quiet down in the next year or so. She is a distributor now, so I can get them through her. They're not cheap. It's like getting a cup of coffee at Starbucks. So it's like about $399 a month. But if it helps you in any way,
right? And it's they say the stem cell activation is called the X39 patch, designed to activate. Yeah, X39. But so there's lack of evidence. Oh, it still hasn't been researched enough for approval for medical use, which is why it's very expensive to purchase.
LifeWave is the company.
Yeah, LifeWave.
But Walmart sells them. I don't understand that.
And again,
not FDA, because Walmart comes from China.
We're in the situation where, again, we're up against what's the FDA approval.
Correct.
When we look back... Now, there's a great mistrust of government because we look back on, quote, the approval of the COVID vaccination and how many shortcuts they took. So one of the items that we've seen is that the trust in the U.S. government is at an all-time low.
I saw a tweet or whatever we're calling it these days that even President Trump is questioning whether he was lied to or misled on the COVID direction and that maybe the warp speed wasn't such a good idea.
Well, I think he put a lot of trust in Fauci, too much.
Before we go, I want to talk a little bit about what has happened in Washington, D.C. in the past couple of weeks. It seems that people are safely walking the streets. It seems that the carjackings are down something like 87%, which is a pretty large number. And Washington is unique because it's a federally governed. And so there's no question of the legality of President Trump doing that. There are going to be some battles if he tries to do it anywhere else. But part of this is the court system, too. When you arrest people, when you arrest somebody for murder, and 5 minutes later they're walking out of your jail because of no bail rules, then there really is no consequence for murder.
But now he just signed the executive order to get rid of... No cash bail. You have to have cash. You have to have
posted. And that's a good step forward.
Because too many people are just
leaving. I was watching the Chicago mayor say we don't want any federal troops coming in. And to me, that's like saying it's okay with me that we're killing each other.
Correct. Yeah, there were, 57 people shot over the weekend in Chicago?
54 people were shot in one weekend in Chicago, and 7 people were killed. That's just in one weakened. Now, Governor Pritzker, he's
weekend,
okay
though.
With this. But when I sat down and looked at the numbers, that's over a person every single day that's being murdered. Mm-hmm. Not shot, robbed, stabbed, just the ones that have died from that crime. Over one person a day. That's plus one people every single day in one city. That's frightening.
That's not acceptable.
That's not acceptable.
But here again, if you watch him giving the speech and talking about we're not going to allow, and he's actually passing his own executive orders where his police department isn't allowed to work with ICE or any of the other organizations. The people are chiming in and yeah. It's like he's inciting violence between the people and if any National Guard would come in. It's like he's trying to stir them up to violence.
Yeah. I mean, and if you look at the whole thing, now all the companies and all the stores, everybody's pulling out. So the economy is crushing and falling. People are more upset, so they're likely to rebel because now they're angry, so they don't know who to be angry at. He's saying it's all Trump's fault that this is happening, and we don't want this dictator to come in. However, if he did, even if he didn't like it, and he did and it didn't work, then he could say, see, I told you so. If we don't go in and it falls apart, we can say, well, this was what you said. You banned us from coming in. Your people are suffering. I don't understand what governor, mayor wants there. People to suffer. I don't understand.
Grocery stores closing yes. down. People have to go out of their neighborhoods to get food.
And some of them are on low income and they don't have a car.
No.
But you listen to the politicians that are getting up in front of the microphones. Folks, we're in front of microphones. But the politicians that are getting in front of the microphones and saying, everything is okay in Chicago. Now, I would guess, and having heard this, I'm parroting from someone else, if we took the old Section 8 housing and redid it and made it beautiful Section 8 housing, and then to those politicians said, you can go and live in that housing rent-free, how many of them would actually go there? None. Because in D.C., what's happened is he's trying to make all neighborhoods safe, not just the lily white neighborhood safe. President Trump is trying to make all the neighborhoods safe.
Well, I thought the funniest thing was Chuck Schumer walking around Washington, D.C., saying, I feel perfectly safe.
How many?
And so did his eight bodyguards.
Eight bodyguards, that was my question.
I mean, it's ridiculous. The double standard is glaring.
Well, it's everywhere because you even see Mondami with bodyguards and police escorts.
But he doesn't want New Yorkers to have guns.
Right. But you can't, it's very safe here and everything is all hunky-dory. So it's...
But I am frightened for the country because I see Maxine Waters yesterday was trying to blow a lot of people, blow a lot of smoke. They are inciting violence.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And some of the people are desperate enough that they will take any excuse. Look at the Summer of Love.
Yeah.
Any excuse to loot and rob and break in, break up, burn down. And it changes nothing politically.
No.
But they destroy their own neighborhoods.
What would happen if we did away with welfare?
I don't know.
I think the crime rate would go crazy. I think it would.
Well, we used to get along without welfare. The thing I want to mention, I know we're short on time here. Somebody needs to explain to me, there was looting after Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And what is the purpose of looting a large flat screen television when you don't have electricity and you're hungry? I've never understood that.
And we've also seen recently the proliferation of the storage bins. Everybody has to have more than they need. Folks, on that, unfortunately, we're running out of time. And again, thanks for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call. You have a great week.